Ramsey TV.
Unfortunately, it's not difficult to compare the Christian religion to the Third Reich, to the doctrines and teaching of Nazi Germany. And I'm going to do that today. Today will be an introduction to the concept. And in the next 2 days, it might take three. I might have to continue. On Monday, I will finish my thoughts on the comparison between the Christian religion and Nazi Germany. It's not a cheap comparison at all. It's legitimate, and you're going to see that as I go forward here. I thought yesterday was an important show. I thank you for your comments. Of course, to review briefly, the two women who came to Solomon with one dead baby and one living baby, Solomon set a trap for the woman whose baby was dead by saying, I'm going to cut the baby in half. And she was all for it. That exposed her wicked heart. And I drew the analogy of eternal torment. Who hates eternal torment? Who loves eternal torment? Well, God's going to say he's going to do it. Not really, but he's going to purposely mistranslate scripture so that it could be taken from misquoted scripture, from mistranslated scripture by misunderstanding parables and such. You can get eternal torment if you're looking for it in a bad translation, mind you. It's not true. And Christians are going to be caught in the trap, and they're going to be guilty as hell of loving it, of wanting it, of wanting it. Because why else, when we present the truth of the salvation of all and show them that there's evidence in Scripture that the salvation of all is true and eternal torment is false, why is there a resistance to that? You would think that there would be a welcoming heart hoping that it's true. Please show me. Are you serious? There's something in Scripture that we've missed? You're telling me that this teaching could possibly not be true? That's fantastic. Show us what you got. We hope you're right. No. Very, very, very rarely do you get that. You get resistance because they want it to be true. I've been told over the years, Martin, these people really don't believe it. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They're just, and the objection goes, well, how can they live with themselves? How can they sleep at night? How can they not be going door to door, knocking and warning people and getting bullhorns in the street? Why? Simple. They're calloused. Their consciences have been seared, burned off, and they're just callous to the human race. They don't give a damn. They really don't give a damn. And besides that, they have a sick propensity towards people unlike them who don't have faith getting what's coming to them. They like the idea that God's going to get revenge over these stupid, unwise people who just didn't choose Christ when they had the opportunity. Yes, self-righteousness plays very largely into this, because when you realize that God is the Savior of all, self-righteousness goes out the door. When you realize it is God's intention to save all humanity, it's kind of disappointing to some people. Lets the air out of their bubble. Oh, really? I explain to them, well, don't worry. If you believe, if you've been given belief by God, you're going to have more. You're going to get in early. You're going to enjoy the aeonian times, eons 4 and 5. That's a big deal. These other people won't see the light of day until the great white throne, and then some of them not until the consummation at the end of eon 5. You do have to tell people that. It's not helpful to tell people that Hitler's going to be in the same place I am, even though that's true. And I'm going to get to Hitler here. Even though that's true, you must bring up the judgment. You must bring up the fact that in the end, Hitler is going to be with the saints. Hitler himself is going to be a saint because he's going to be changed just as we were changed. But you need to bring up the judgment. They need to hear that, well, at least Hitler's going to get his ass kicked, yeah, at the Great White Throne. They need to hear that. So don't leave that out. But yes, this self-righteousness, this vindictive spirit that is infected, that has infected the Christian religion. I see parallels, pretty obvious, of Nazi Germany, the 1930s, speaking specifically of the final solution, the super race. Christians are, you know, they won't say it this way, but they consider themselves a super people, a super race, superior, the root word there is super, superior to everyone else, not because of their genetics, as was the case in Nazi Germany, but because of their faith, because of their moral behavior. And them having faith of their own free will is a great moral feat. And they accomplished it in spite of the ironclad decree of Romans 3, 10 and 11. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking out God. They somehow were able to overcome this decree and work up the faith. And because they credit it to themselves, that's what human free will is. It's a wonderful teaching for them, very convenient, because it gives them the opportunity, even though it's an illicit one, to credit their salvation to themselves. Thus, they eliminate the cross as the means of salvation. That's why they're not in the body of Christ. And with such self-righteousness on display, it's why they're not in the Israel camp either. And see ya at the Great White Throne at the end of Eon 4. Now, the next couple of days are going to be disturbing. I'm going to bring out more details on this based on an article I wrote in the ZWTF. But I'm writing an emergency book on this. The writing is already done. I'm just going to put it in book form. I'll tell you more about that in the next couple of days. But I want to read the copy that I put on the back of the book. I'll show you the cover tomorrow. I just designed the cover yesterday. This is going to be big. I'm really excited about it. Are you ready for this? Unbelievers are to Christians what the Jews were to Hitler's Reich. Evil expendables, undesirables, fit only for punishment. The Jews must be punished for their lack of Aryan blood. The unbelievers for their lack of faith. In both cases, it is a final solution. Think of that. This is a final solution. God's final solution to the scourge of unbelief is to torture people in hell, in this fictitious place called hell, a word which no one in the New Testament or the Old Testament ever spoke because they didn't speak English. Jesus said words like Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, nothing to do with an unending cauldron of fire where people are consciously tormented, nothing whatsoever to do with it. So in both cases, it's a final solution. Anyone working toward either solution, that is either those in the Nazi regime who were in whatever capacity working toward the final solution of purging the undesirables from their midst, and in the case of the Christian, purging the faithless from their midst, they're complicit. They're complicit in their idea and their sick concept of the final solution. They're complicit, and they have to blindly accept it. Well, it's just God's way. Well, it's not my fault. It's just God's way. But a rightly translated scripture will insist that it's not God's way. More on that tomorrow. Before I get to the eugenics, and I thought to myself, I didn't really go into the woman who objected to Solomon's decree. I'm going to cut the baby in half. He didn't. Yes, lengthwise, I assume. Lengthwise. That way, each mother would get, you know, a corresponding part. Yeah, you wouldn't cut the baby in half lengthwise, to be widthwise. That's what I think he was going to do. But of course, he was not going to do it. It was a trap. So I was just speaking yesterday of the trap of the woman who said, yeah, cut the baby in half, because she didn't even want the baby to be alive. She didn't want the true mother to even have the satisfaction of having her son alive, even if that son would have been in her possession, that is, in the possession of the witch who switched babies during the night. That's how evil she was. And that trap exposed her, Solomon's trap did. But it also did a favor for the real mother, because she nobly said, all right, give it to this woman if you have to, King Solomon. I just want the baby to live. See, it exposed her true heart. And that's what the trap of eternal torment will do and what it has done for us. And I love how many of you said how thankful you were that we are on the right side of that trap. We saw in our formative years and whatever organized religion we grew up in, we saw and heard of the doctrine of eternal torment. And instead of going, yeah, cut the baby in half, yeah, burn those rotten sinners, we said, what? This can't be right. It doesn't sound consistent with a loving God. It doesn't sound consistent with a Savior who came to the world to save sinners. Yet these people are going to hell for being sinners. But I thought Jesus Christ saved sinners. So the contradiction of that brought out the best in us, and we searched for an answer. And so that trap exposed our goodness. At the same time, it exposed the wickedness of the baby switcher, King Solomon's trap. God's trap of eternal torment exposes not only the wickedness of those who love the idea of eternal torment, but also the goodness. We're comparable to the mother, the true mother, who said, I just want the baby to live. This is terrible. Don't do this. We say, we just want all humans to eventually enjoy God for eternity. It's not their fault that they were subject to sin and death. This came to the human race, this sin and death, not willingly, according to Romans chapter 8. And almost like Moses begging God, don't destroy the people for your own namesake. Don't destroy them. When he's on the top of Mount Sinai and they're dancing around the golden calf for your own namesake. And the true mother was probably saying, for your own namesake, Solomon, don't cut the baby in half. It's not going to go good for you. Word's going to spread. You're a baby cutter lengthwise, and it's not going to go good for you. Please. And plus, I love this kid. I want him to live. In our example, we say, there must be a way. No, this can't be right. God, show us the solution. And he has. And he has. We're on the good side. I didn't bring that out yesterday. So somebody made the comment. I'm thankful for it. We're on the good side of the trap God set. So let me give you the definition of eugenics. I'm going to show you how it was applied in Nazi Germany. And then you will see the comparison of how it's applied in the Christian religion. And it is applied. In both cases, we're talking about a super race, a race of super people. In the German instance, it was Aryan blood. In the Christian instance, it's supernatural faith. Again, overcoming the ironclad decree in Romans chapter 3. Super faith. And we're going to weed out the undesirables. We're going to weed out the unfaithful. What's this? What do we do with these people who just don't have the faith? We're going to get rid of them. We're going to get rid of them. Our leader says he's got a way to get rid of them. For the Jews, that was Hitler. For the Christians, it's God. Their small g, God. He's got a way to get rid of the undesirables. He's going to torture them for eternity. Ooh, not even Hitler thought of that. Some of the Christians believe in annihilation as the final solution. God's just going to kill them all. That sucks also. It sucks because it's not right. Eugenics, the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. Developed largely by Sir Francis Galton as a method of improving the human race, eugenics was increasingly discredited as unscientific and racially biased, really, during the 20th century, especially after the adoption of its doctrines by the Nazis in order to justify their treatment of Jews, disabled people, and other minority groups. Ho! It can't be much more obvious. To arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. What is the most desirable thing? To have faith, to believe in God. Yes, that's fine. And if the German race had simply said, well, okay, our blood is superior, but, you know, live and let live. But no, They had to punish the undesirables, the one with the not-so-good blood, according to their sick teachings. And that's the way with the Christians, the undesirables. And the final solution is death. Only the Christians take it to the next level, eternal conscious torment. A method of improving the human race. Christians really do see a heaven populated with a super race of wise people who stand before God on their own merits, having exercised their own free will, independent of influence by God. That's what a free will is, independent of influence by Satan, by their heredity, by the curse of Adam. Oh yeah, they're not subject to any of that. These super people, a super race. And when they go to heaven, they're going to be celebrated as superior according to them. And the credit will all have to go to them. And I know they all say, oh, praise God. But no, that's hypocritical because it's due to their own wisdom, their own supposed wisdom, that they're in the good place. And those stupid people didn't have the wisdom to choose God. They're in the bad place. Eugenics was especially discredited after the adoption of its doctrines by the Nazis in order to justify their treatment of Jews, disabled people, and other minority groups. Yeah, you think so? If you believe that God hates these people enough to torture them for eternity, why should you love them? Why should you treat them any better than their God treats them? And so you cannot help but look down on other people with disdain, with disgust, thinking that's what they deserve. But this is exactly the attitude of the Pharisees. That's what they deserve. Stupid sinners. The Pharisees always look down their noses on the sinners. You know the parable. The publican and the sinner. I did a show a couple weeks ago showing you that. No, the Pharisee and the sinner. The Pharisee and the publican. Not the publican and the sinner. The publican was considered the sinner. I showed you how being a sinner is put in a different category as being a Pharisee. Because Phariseeism is a worse type of sin than your run-of-the-mill sins. You're false witness, you're lying, you're adultery, you're stealing, you're indulging in the flesh, whatever you can name. There's a sin worse than that that deserves its own category, and that's the sin of self-righteousness. And so it was easy for them to look down on the disabled people. That's interesting here, the disabled people. The Nazis wanted to get rid of disabled people because they just made the whole thing weak. They didn't help the race be superior. So we have to get rid of them. They're disabled. What the Christians don't realize is that we're all disabled. God treats everyone like they're disabled. He treats everyone like they're mentally deficient. People say, well, it's not fair. What does God do for the mentally deficient, the mentally retarded people? We're all mentally retarded. Just that question presupposes a self-righteousness that would distinguish oneself as superior to the mentally deficient individual. God treats all of us like we're mentally retarded. Sorry for the politically incorrect term there, but the whole race is that way. Read again Romans 3, 10, and 11. So, yep, a super race in heaven. All the Christians, they'll be celebrated there, according to them. But when we are snatched away, it won't be us celebrating. It will be us bowing in worship and adoration and reverence for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, apart from whom we could do nothing. There is no super race of human beings where we are going. There's only a super Savior who came down to this earth, gave up his rich estate to become as us, to become poor, tired and weak as we were, but went to the cross, took on the sins and the weaknesses, not only of us, but of the whole world. And he rose without those sins and weaknesses, rose from the dead 3 days after they killed him. Death could not hold him, and he is the first fruit of an entire human race that will eventually be vivified and enjoy life with God for eternity.